tortoise.
Hello, I'm Tomini, and this is The Sensemaker from Tortoise. One story every day to make sense of the world. Today, a storm that brought record rainfall and flooding to parts of the United Arab Emirates led to a wave of speculation online about the dangers of geoengineering. But what exactly is cloud seeding? And is it really to blame for the recent extreme weather? That's after a short break.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at OseaMalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.
This is the sound of the storm rolling into Dubai. Last week, videos of the extreme flooding were all over the internet. Jets could be seen taxiing down runways that were entirely submerged underwater. Hundreds of flights were cancelled as crowds of passengers were left stranded, some for days. Elsewhere in the city, people could be seen in shopping malls wading through water that came up to their chests. Some cars crawled through floodwater that came up to their windscreens. Others were left abandoned.
People have been there for hours and aren't going anywhere. It is absolutely crazy. It's like a sea. They're all stuck.
Across social media, people shared apocalyptic-looking videos of the storm with messages of support. But others speculated that the UAE's geoengineering was to blame. In particular, a technique known as cloud seeding, where particles are released into clouds to boost the condensation of water vapour. For a country as dry as the UAE that faces rising temperatures, it's a tempting solution to an immediate problem. The government has invested millions of dollars in rain research grants, and the National Centre of Meteorology has been tasked with extracting every last drop. Here's how they explain their work.
Some of these clouds, by nature, sometimes it rains, for example, only 40 to 50% of its rain that processed in the cloud that comes as rainfall. So by these operations, we try to increase this amount by, for example, from 15 to 30%.
But it's far from an exact science.
Until now, there is no way that you can measure the success rate for each individual cloud. There are no two clouds are the same. And you don't know, for example, before actually you see the cloud, is it going to rain by itself or not, and by how much?
The practice has been around for decades. Around 50 countries use the method to increase rainfall in places that suffer from drought. But recently, it's been attracting controversy online. Climate change deniers point to geoengineering as the real reason for extreme weather, and conspiracy theorists accuse the government of blaming climate change to cover up when things go wrong.
On January 22nd, Southern California had some of the worst flooding. As it turns out, the government was cloud seeding, but that doesn't stop the LA Times from calling people conspiracy theorists. Well, look at this. Weather modification on the dates of the actual storm and the days before. We need to expose the truth and hold them accountable.
So the UAE does do cloud seeding, and it admits that it can have unpredictable results. It's also thought that a year and a half's worth of rain fell in a single day. But is there any truth to the internet's theories, or is there another explanation?
What caused the rain? First, reports came out to say that it had to do with cloud seeding, which the Emirates have been doing for a while. But actually, it has been shown that that had nothing to do with this rain. It's actually likely, and I say likely because it hasn't come out yet, it's likely the impact of climate change.
This is Christiana Figueres, a former UN climate chief, talking to Tortoise about the work of the World Weather Attribution Group.
And they use weather observations and climate models to understand how climate influences both the intensity, the frequency, and the likelihood of these extreme weather events. And the science of attribution is advancing very rapidly. So we don't know yet, because this just happened on Tuesday, but I think we can expect the World Weather Attribution Group to go in and take a look.
The UAE is one of the world's largest producers of fossil fuels. In 2021, it exported around 2.3 million barrels of oil every day, and burning those is the leading cause of climate change. For years, it's also been battling with the effects of rising temperatures. In July 2022, they reached as high as 52 degrees Celsius. The city of Dubai has been built to accommodate the heat. Much of daily life takes place indoors, under the relief of air conditioning.
But they are not prepared for rain. They are absolutely not prepared for the infrastructure and the human impacts of rain. So this has caught them by surprise. If it is shown that this extreme rain has to do with climate change, it's going to be very sobering for the UAE.
If the floods are proven to be an effect of climate change, what might the UAE's response be? And what does that mean for the future of their fossil fuel industry? We'll have more after the break.
Hello, I'm John Curtis.
And I'm Rachel Wolfe. This week on Trendy, the monarchy. A year after the coronation, and as King Charles returns to work, what do we think of it? And how has that changed over time?
To listen to the episode, search for Trendy on Tortoise News wherever you get your podcasts, and follow the feed to make sure you don't miss an episode.
But today, many of these companies are committing to zero methane emissions by 2030 for the first time. And now, many national oil companies have adopted net zero 2050 targets for the first time. And I'm grateful that they have stepped up to join this game-changing journey. But I must say, it is not enough.
That's President Sultan Al Jaber speaking at COP28, which was hosted by the UAE last year. In his speech, he signalled that his country understood the threat posed by the climate crisis and the need to tackle emissions.
I think it has to be said that the UAE, of all of the Gulf countries, is probably the one that is most aware of climate on their capacity to survive where they are. And they have been taking pretty impressive steps into not just installing and using renewable energy, but actually investing into finessing solar panel technologies.
There are also economic reasons why the Gulf might want to move away from its reliance on crude oil extraction, because it won't last forever.
But they know that that is not an eternal and an unlimited sale ticket. They know that there is going to come a point in which they will not be able to sell anymore. It won't completely change the transition. It won't ignite the transition. Could it actually accelerate the transition? Maybe.
Four people have been killed by the floods in the UAE. And with poor drainage infrastructure across the country, the extent of the damage is still unclear. But it's a wake-up call for authorities.
The imperative to shift the world's focus to the needs of adaptation. Excellencies, adaptation must be at the heart of our action.
So far, the UAE has been focused on adapting to rising temperatures. But with this new extreme weather phenomenon, it might have to rethink its strategies and its priorities fast. Thank you for listening to The Sensemaker from Tortoise. This episode was written and mixed by Ada Barume.
Tortoise.
Hello, I'm John Curtis.
And I'm Rachel Wolfe. This week on Trendy, the monarchy. A year after the coronation, and as King Charles returns to work, what do we think of it? And how has that changed over time?
To listen to the episode, search for Trendy on Tortoise News wherever you get your podcasts and follow the feed to make sure you don't miss an episode.